Simeon, I titled him the Hidden One. Simeon seems to be one of God's hidden servants, one who, under the guidance of God, calmly and quietly served God and waited. And as far as scriptures go, he prayed unknown before many. Unknown by many, okay? But now he is known by countless numbers, millions, for centuries. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I want to look at this man, Simeon. He's going to be the first in our three messages having to do with the Christmas time and the Christmas events, as we refer to them in the Gospels. Here in verse 25, we read about his holy character. He was a just and devout man. Just meaning upright, and devout, of course, meaning that his dedication to God was of such a depth that it was noted in the Holy Scriptures and would remain in those Scriptures. Who was he? Well, there's various guesses that many have made. One fellow guessed that he was the son of Hillel, a Jewish philosopher, a doctor of the law. The others say that he was the father of Gamaliel. Another one said he was he was the president of the Sanhedrin. Well, all of these sound fascinating. The only problem is there isn't enough scripture to even hint at any of them. So where in the world these ideas came from, I have no idea. But I let you know that so that if you ever happen to be reading on Simeon and these things come up, you don't think, oh, wow, look at that, because here's this smart person, and they said that. Okay, well, a guy not so smart let you know that they aren't so smart. And he waited, according to verse 25, he waited for the consolation of Israel. The redemption of Israel was expected. The coming of the Messiah was looked for, eagerly anticipated by the faithful Jews as something that would happen soon. Joseph of Arimathea, mentioned as one in Mark 15, as one who waited for the kingdom of God. And so now there's a sense in which all the Jews waited for the Messiah. I know in talking with a Jew one time, I asked about that, and the Messiah, are you not looking? Oh yeah, we're looking for the coming of the Messiah. The Jews are looking, and when you, I told them that Jesus and, you know, claimed to be the Messiah and gave, you know, a little bit of support for that. And they said, well, that may be, but we're still waiting, okay? Now, when he comes a second time, it's going to be too late for them.
Yeah, you're right.
But they'll know indeed that he was the Messiah. And so all Jews waited, but there were those who, like Joseph of Arimathea and Simeon, they waited with an intensity, okay? Today, all Christians that have a knowledge of the Bible know that Jesus is coming again. And they are waiting for the second coming, but not with very much intensity. It's just one of those facts that they know. But then there are those who know the scriptures and have that kind of relationship with God that causes them to be waiting for the second coming of Christ in the same way that Simeon and Joseph of Arimathea were waiting for him the first time. And so Simeon waited. And you notice in verse 25, there's three times here where the Holy Ghost is referred to. In verse 25, it said he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. So you see, three times there is this reference. And so no wonder God called him a devout man. Okay? He was a man that the Holy Ghost was with, that the Spirit of God led him into the temple. Now, he went into the temple many times. But, you know, it could be that if the Spirit had not led him, he might not have been there when Jesus was brought in, okay, for his circumcision. He could have missed him. Well, yeah, hypothetically. But he couldn't miss him because he was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He was a man led by the Spirit of God. And therefore, God had him where he needed to be so he could see the Christ child. Oh, the poor skeptic who thinks that the scriptures are just the ideas of religious men, and they've written them down. Never have they ever explained how they could ever before Jesus was born, okay, or even thought of in the minds of men, that the prophets did prophesy the things they did, and then along comes Jesus and fulfills them. I have yet to find a skeptic who can explain how that happens, okay? Whether he be a scholar or just an ordinary common guy. Never have they been able to explain how those things could be fulfilled. One of the things that I like about the Scofield Reference Bible, the real value in the Scofield Reference Bible is it's referencing, okay? They have wide columns and they got numbers in them, and you can go back to those numbers and find other scriptures. But one of the things they have in there is the prophecies, a couple pages where it gives the prophecies and then it gives the fulfillments. And never have skeptics been able to explain how that could be done. So the Holy Ghost was upon him, divinely inspired, overshadowed, guided, protected, kept alive, told that he wouldn't die until he saw the Christ child. He knew that. So when he got the flu, I don't know if they got the flu back then, but when he got sick, he didn't have to worry about dying. He might have been sicker than a dog. He might have felt awful, but he knew he wasn't going to die because it was promised to him that he wouldn't die till he saw the Christ child. And so he was led by the Spirit into the temple and trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path, Simeon. Simeon, as a devout man, likely knew that scripture that we quote from Proverbs. And after the custom of the law, you see, look at verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem and to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's what they came to do. Of course, we go back to the Old Testament into the laws of God that give us the details of that 8 day, not only the circumcision, but all that was involved in it. And he had a joyful testimony. Wow. Hey, crowned with honor, he is ready to depart in peace. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, I can die now. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to God's word, according to thy word. That's a wonderful thing. Are we able? The Apostle Paul, what did the Apostle Paul say? I have finished my course. I have run the race. I've fought the battle. And now I can go home.
Amen.
You know, I've heard, as I'm sure you have, testimonies of some believers that walked so close with God. When they were on their dying bed, they were consumed with the fact that they would be with the Lord. And that's what they spoke of. Now, you know, when we read such testimonies, one reads them and may think that's the only thing they talked about. No, if they loved God and cared for God that much, they loved their family too. Okay? Because that's what God would teach a person. But what's significant in their testimony is not this dear old saint, whether he be a preacher or whether he be a factory worker. Okay? You folks have got to know that many times we hear testimonies about preachers and missionaries, but that doesn't make their dying any more special than the dying of a man who works in a factory. Now, as soon as I say that, you know that's true. And yet somehow, you see, just like we say, you need to follow God's will. You young people, you need to find out what God's will is. You need to serve God. And then, of course, when we say, we need preachers, what do the poor girls do, you know? They can't be a preacher, at least not in our kind of churches. So, you know, they listen. Whatever God wants for you, whatever God's will is for you as a young person, that is as comparable importance in your life as it is for the young man who gets called to be a preacher. Okay? I mean, here sits Grace. And God's will for her life is to become a nurse. And I don't know what it is. I'm just making that up. God's will is to become a nurse. Listen, that's as important as it is for Luke. If God says to Luke, I want you to be an evangelist.
That's right.
That's just as important as it is for Luke to be an evangelist. It's just as wrong for Grace not to become a nurse as it would be for Luke to not become an evangelist. The Christian vocations, okay, they are important, they are significant, but no way does their importance minimize other people's significance. And we're all important to God. And so here he has this joyful testimony. He was now able to depart in peace. He could die in peace. He saw the Christ child. Now I have to stop and think how Simeon prayed, how he read the scriptures, how he heard the rabbi's teaching, how he interacted, and how important this was to him, and all of his daily living. And when he went through the rituals of the law under which he lived, how important and meaningful that was to him. But it was all a part of God's will and plan for his life. And now here it was. It's the end of his life. You know, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. And young people sitting here, they're thinking, yeah, someday, maybe in the future. There isn't a preacher that serves the Lord, but what they've buried, babies.
Yeah.
But what they've had, the funerals of teenagers. You see, you as a young person, as a child, have no more promise of a long life than old man Battis sitting back there. I'm well aware of that, believe me. I mean, some people even have hair. That's the amazing thing to me, not the color of it. I can color it like ladies do theirs.
Please don't.
don't worry, I'm not going to. Now listen, I don't hope I step in anybody's shoes with this one. Men's colored hair somehow looks phony.
Yes,
it does. They got to upgrade men's hair dye. I said to Pat one time about it, and I don't remember when it was. I think it was longer before we came here, okay? I said, man, I'm surprised at how long she has her brown hair. She said, Roger. What? She said, have you noticed her husband's hair color? She probably got hers out of a bottle. Oh, yeah, I guess. It looks real, is what I'm getting at, okay? And M's doesn't. But the point I'm making, Josh, is you need to be sure you're saved, and you need to live for God, and you need to obey God, because you could die before Mr. Baxter.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We could all get a telephone call or a prayer letter notice or a prayer list notice, such and such has happened to Josh. You better make sure you're right and ready. And that's true for every one of you people.
Yes, sir.
Not one of you are exempt. And if you're not ready, you know where you're going to spend eternity? Where's that? Now listen, some people are going to say, well, without Jesus. You know, that's true. But usually that term, they're going to spend eternity without Jesus, is to try to soften the fact they're going to spend eternity in hell.
That's right. Yes, sir.
They're going to spend eternity suffering.
Yes, sir.
In torment. You say, why would a loving God do that? And loving God doesn't do that.
That's
you
right.
Do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You do that in
That's
your
exactly
choice.
Right.
You have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ and be born again.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't accept that opportunity and take him into your heart and life, it's not God's fault.
That's right.
It's your fault.
Yes, sir.
Verse 30. Simeon says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 talks about the salvation that has appeared to us. He was seen. He appeared to us. So we receive Christ. We receive eternal life. And just as Simeon was promised that he would not die till he saw the Christ, it is promised that if you'll accept the Christ, when you do die, you'll see him. Christ is the light of the Gentiles. But here it is. Simeon in the temple, and Jesus, a Christ child, is sent there. And notice what he says in verse 32. A light to light the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Okay? Now, Paul, when he talks about the Jew first and the Gentile. Here, we're seeing that the Gentiles are put before the Jews. Now, that doesn't minimize the Gentiles. I mean, the Jews, it wasn't intended that way. But so many times we think that you know, God loves the Jews and the Jews are the important people. And no, when Jesus Christ came and died, he died for all, Jew and Gentile. When God called Abraham and through Abraham made a chosen people, in the leading of Abraham, there was what I have heard described as the upper line and the lower line. The upper line was the Jew, okay, the nation through whom would come, and then the lower line is the Gentiles. Abraham was not just the father of the Jews, he was the father of the Gentiles too. Oh, yes. Christ is indeed the glory of the people of Israel. Israel's Messiah. We don't call him Messiah, other than the fact that we know he is the Messiah, but he is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who paid the price for our sins. And that's exactly what Simeon heard. Now let me wrap this up. The point of the whole matter, I want to put into the form of a question. Have you stumbled? Is he a rock of offense to you? He was to many. Or have you submitted to him your will? Have you seen the great light that lights the world? We sing a gospel song, "The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee." Father in heaven, as we look at the events of the Christmas story, marvelousness of what you have given to us in the person of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.